Amen. Praise the Lord for the special this morning. What a blessing. All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Joshua, chapter 7. Love reading in the book of Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorite Bible characters. Wednesday night, we're studying the life of Joseph, and some point down the road, I want to go through and study the life of Joshua. Just a great Bible character, accomplished much for the cause of Christ. God would call Joshua to take over from Moses. And he would call Joshua to lead Israel to possess the promised land of Canaan. And a great leader. Joshua was captain over the army of Israel underneath Moses, and now he has been called by God to lead Israel. And the first six chapters are tremendous victories and success, and Joshua is just standing where God wants him to stand, accomplishing great things for the cause of Christ. And then we come to chapter 7, and the sin of Achan. Now, there's much here, and I've preached several times on the sin of Achan. I'm going to be preaching on Achan's sin this morning. I want to stay with the thought of Joshua and God's message to Joshua. God's message to Joshua after he had found trouble and because of Achan's sin. And so if you stand with me, we're going to read verse 5. This is after the men of Israel were defeated by the men of Ai. And what took place with Joshua? Joshua chapter 7, verse 5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, and wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. And he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads, a sign of repentance. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side, Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies, until you take away the accursed thing from among you. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, what a blessing we've already enjoyed in just being in this place. Most important thing of all is just sensing your presence in this place today. And Lord, you know exactly what's taken place in the lives of all that have assembled here today. You made a way, and Lord gave them opportunity to come, and they have taken advantage of that, and they're here. And so I pray, God, that you'd bless them as they have come out this morning to worship you. And I pray that you'd give each one of us that ear to hear what we have need to hear spiritually, to enable us and giving us the opportunity to make the decisions that will draw us closer to you. I pray, God, that you might use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, if you'd stop and think about what Israel has experienced up to this point, they experienced great miracles from God underneath the leadership of Moses, going through the wilderness and having God's presence with them as a cloud by day and a fire by night, representing the God's presence, especially over the tabernacle. And now as Joshua is called by God and the people see the hand of God upon Joshua, they experience the power of God. They experience God parting the Jordan River, somewhat like he had for Moses in parting the Red Sea. They experience God giving them the victory on the other side of Jordan. And then after that victory, God parted the Jordan River, and they walked across the Jordan River on dry ground. When they got across the Jordan River, which was also protection for Jericho, Jericho had a double security. They had the river that they were felt secure, that they could not bring armies over to attack Jericho. And God parted the river. And then as Israel comes up before Jericho, and they had the great walls of Jericho, these walls of protection that they thought would be impossible to penetrate. And we find how God worked through Israel's faith, and as they blew the trumpet, we find that God blew down the great walls of Jericho. I mean, this had just happened. And Israel and Joshua saw the power of God working on their behalf. But now Joshua experienced his first major defeat at Ai. And he sends those up to conquer Ai, and they are defeated, and they run from the soldiers of Ai. And we find that Joshua acts like he does not have a clue as to what just happened. Verse 7 through 9. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us?" He's babbling. I mean, he's just, you can tell that he is not thinking clearly. He knew why they were there. God had prepared them in Egypt and prepared them through exiting Egypt. He prepared them as they went through the wilderness. He prepared them as he called Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1 gave Joshua all these instructions on how to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. He knew all of that. And yet, at this defeat, you could tell that his mind was not comprehending what was going on. I don't know if you've ever been there. I know that I have. To where I'm so upset over what has happened in a defeat or a tragedy that I'm not thinking clearly. It's evident that Joshua's not thinking clearly. And he is babbling, if you will, to God and say, "God, why is all this happening? And did you bring us here to destroy us? And would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. We got the victory on the other side of Jordan." Well, they also got the victory in Jericho on the right side of Jordan, in the side of Canaan. And so again, we find he's babbling and said, we should have dwelt on the other side, should never come here if this is what was going to happen. As he was babbling, he didn't know who God was. He was saying things as if he did not know God, did not know God's will for his life, did not know God's purpose for Israel. And he didn't know why he didn't have God's help. Well, Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, go back there with me. Let me lay the foundation here. Stay with me here. God's message to Joshua, but in order for us to understand God's message to Joshua, we have to know where Joshua's at and what's taking place. Joshua's babbling before the Lord, saying things that you wonder where that came from. Saying things as if he didn't even know who God was. He didn't know God's will for his life. He didn't understand what God was doing. Why he would allow such things to happen, and they were defeated at Ai. Well, chapter 6 and verse 17. This was before they went to conquer Jericho. Before God would blow down the walls of Jericho. He says this to them. And the city shall be accursed. Jericho is accursed. Even it, and all that are hid therein to the Lord. He said, I want you to know something. Before you go in to Jericho, it is a city that has been accursed. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she had the messengers. She hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. Keep yourself from the accursed thing, or you're going to make yourself accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. If you find yourself in trouble, realize it's because you've done something I told you not to do. You find yourself in trouble, realize somebody has sinned. Somebody has taken of the accursed thing. God's telling them that. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. These are the treasures, and they shall come into the treasures of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. The people heard that, and so now they shout when they heard the blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. They have the power of God. So that the people went in, up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. Victory. In the will of God. Doing what God called them to do. Doing what God wanted them to do. And possessing the land of Canaan. God blew down these great, mighty walls of Jericho. God had spoken to them about the spoil of Jericho. It's accursed. It's accursed. If you take it, it's going to bring trouble. They heard what God said, but they didn't know what He said. Now, this is very important right here. They heard what God said, but they really didn't know, or didn't act like they knew what was said. To know. Definition, to be aware of. If you know it, you're aware of it. Not only there, to have fixed in the mind. Now, that's a great definition. To be aware of it and have it fixed in your mind. I often tell people, when you're going through trials and tragedy, know what you know. You've heard it, but hearing is not all you need. Not only do you need to hear it, but you need to know it. When you hear it, put it in your mind, fix it in your mind so that you know it. When you hear it, you need to be able to be aware of it all the time. God said, before you go into Jericho, know this. They went into Jericho, they heard what God said. They found themselves in trouble. Joshua here. Now, I'm not talking about just the Israel. I'm talking Joshua, the leader. He heard what God said. He sends them up to Ai. They're defeated. They have trouble. Why didn't he just refer back to what he knew? Why didn't he refer back to what God said would bring trouble? Didn't know it. He heard it. Didn't fix it on his mind. Can I tell you today, some want to believe that they have God's blessings when they do not. see people living in sin all the time and say, oh yeah, God's blessing me. And I don't always say anything because it's not the right time, but I'm thinking, God's not blessing that. We'll say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I know the Word of God. I know what the Bible says. I know that what God says He will not bless, and I know what God says He will bless. Or you're being judgmental. They think it's God's blessings. Doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God says. I know what God says. And God says, if I can't, I will not bless that. Listen to me. I don't care how you feel, what you think. God is not blessing what He says. He will not bless. There's many today living a life of sin and want to believe that they have the blessings of God upon their life because they might have money. Maybe they have a prestigious job. They might have something here, possessions here. That did not come from God. God, that does not reveal God's blessings on your life. Matter of fact, if you're living a life of sin, mark it down. God is not blessing your life, no matter what you might feel. On the other side of that, others are blinded to thinking that God is against them when He's actually for them. Satan would love to make you think that God is not blessing you. John Parker, a great servant of the Lord. I love Brother John. And he's here. He's battling cancer. He's battling heart conditions. He's in the hospital, and I went to visit John, and of course, he's on a lot of medications, a lot of things going on. And he says, preacher, why is God doing this to me? And I said, John, whoa. God is not doing this to you. Your age, your physical makeup, you know, you have heart problems, you have cancer. God is not doing that to you. That's just the curse of the flesh. God is not doing that to you, John. I said, you need to stop that. Satan's trying to blind you to God's blessings of your life. Tell me something. Do you know you're saved? Yes. Do you know that when God saved you, it changed your life? Oh, yes. I started getting a smile thinking about the changed life that he is now living after he received Christ as his Savior. I said, God has given you all these years to live. God has given you the salvation. God has given you the promise of everlasting life. I said, John, at the very worst, if you are to die right now, you have heaven to look forward to. That is a blessing from God, a promise of eternal life. I said, John, don't allow Satan to blind you to God's blessing you, because God is blessing you. He has blessed you. And John just starts smiling. I believe it helped him to understand. I believe Satan was trying to really burden him down and make him think it's God. It's not God doing that. How do you know that? I know the Scriptures. I know what God says that He will bless. And I know what God says He will not bless. If we know God's Word. I didn't say if you heard God's Word. Let's go back to the definition of know, to be aware of, to have fixed in the mind. If you know God's Word, you can know what God will bless and what He will not bless. God's message to Joshua. Now let's look at it. Now that's, praise the Lord, the message is going to be short, the introduction was long. Joshua should have known. He heard, but he didn't know. Because he didn't know, because Satan blinded that, now he's babbling before God. The first thing we find is God addresses Joshua's confusion. He didn't address his babbling. I'm so glad that God doesn't address my babbling sometimes when I go to Him and I'm confused, maybe emotional. And I'm crying and I'm thinking, why did this happen and what this and all. And before you know it, I find myself babbling, thinking, wait a minute. What in the world are you saying to God? I'm glad that God does not listen to my voice. God listens to my heart. My voice can be confusing. Sometimes I get tongue-tied, and sometimes I'll say things, you don't know what I mean. I'm thankful for my wife. I might say one thing, and she says, you mean that, don't you? Oh, yeah, that's what, isn't that what I said? So thankful that God listens more to our heart. He was babbling. God didn't, never one time did God address his babbling. Look what God says, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Stop babbling. Wherefore liest thou upon thus upon thy face? He knew his heart, and in his heart Joshua sought the presence of God. Now, everything before then, Joshua has the elders, as soon as it happens, he repents, he puts on sackcloth, he goes into fasting, he goes into this mode of, I want the presence of God. That's a blessing. That's what God was looking for. When something happens, we might babble a little bit, we might be a little confused, but the one thing that we ought to be confident of is that I want God's presence. Whatever it is that's going on in my life, whatever it is trouble that has come upon me, I want God's presence. I know because in God's presence there is help. Are you seeking God in time of trouble? God's grace is sufficient. The Second Chronicles, let me just read it to you. You can write it down if you want. But Second Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 9, it says this in verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. God says, it's my house. It's where I'm going to be. That's going to be my presence. Whenever you're seeking trouble, no matter what's going on, whether it's pestilence, judgment, sword, famine, you come to my presence. In my presence is help. Psalms chapter 16. Let me just read it to you here. I'll go through real fast. Psalm 16, 11 says this, thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Thou wilt show me, even though I might be confused, if I come into the presence of God, God can take away the confusion. When I come into the presence of God, God can reveal to me what's really taking place. When I come into the presence of God, the Bible says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. In thy presence. The book of Proverbs in chapter 2. I love what we find in the book of Proverbs in chapter 2 concerning this in verse 6. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. If you're in His presence, He can give you wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge. If you're in His presence, if you're listening to God, listen to me, He can give you wisdom and He can give you knowledge and understanding. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Go to the Lord. Seek His presence. No matter what's going on in your heart and your mind, no matter what kind of babbling, no matter what you might be thinking or saying, just know you need the presence of God. Find that prayer closet. Find that spot that you know that you can get away from everything else and come into His presence. God makes that available to us. What a great, great blessing that is. God's presence. Many times I went into my prayer closet confused. I went into my prayer closet saying, why has this happened? How could this happen? I know all of us, we had prayer this morning in Sunday school about what just took place with Colonial Hills. All the way, the bus coming back from Camp Kobiak made it all the way back and just a mile or so away from the church in this tragic bus wreck. I guarantee you can't understand that. I guarantee you those that have lost loved ones can't understand that. But in God's presence, they can find the help they need. Grace to help in time of need. You might go into that prayer closet. You might go into that not being confused and not understanding what's going on. But when you come into God's presence, can I tell you, there is something about the presence of God that brings a peace that passeth understanding, that brings a joy of the Lord, even in the midst of trial. Now, I've been praying last night when I was up here. God, just give them that grace. Only you know what they need. Give them grace. God's presence. God addressed his confusion. The second thing we find is God revealed the source of trouble. When you're in God's presence, he wants you to know what's causing the trouble. Amen? We are not to judge others and say, well, that happened because of this, and that happened because they did this, and God's judgment, that's not what we are to do. But what I am to do when I find myself in trouble, when I find myself dealing with things that I don't know why I'm dealing with things, I need to go to the presence of God and say, God, help me to understand what's going on. I tell people, as soon as I realize I'm in a trial, I want to learn what God has me in that trial to learn as quickly as possible. Because I want to get out of it. I don't want to stay in it. If God has allowed a trial to come into my life, can I tell you there's something that God has for you to learn in the midst of the trial that will strengthen you? So I want to learn it as quickly as possible. He revealed the source of trouble in his presence. He revealed the source of trouble. Look back with me, chapter 7 and verse 11 and 12. He said, get up. He said, stop babbling. And he said, Israel has sinned. Now, he didn't say it here, but I would interject. If you had listened and knew what I said before, you would have understood the why. You would know what's going on. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant. He outlines a sin. Transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, that's the reason the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. God revealed the source of trouble. In this case, it was a sin problem. It's not always in Job's case. Everyone was telling him, Job, it's a sin problem. Job said, I've not sinned. It's not always a sin problem, but in this case, and most of the time, it usually is something that we have done or something that we're failing to do that God is trying to work in us. In this case, is a sin problem. Israel was the chosen family of God. One man's sin affected God's blessings on the whole family. I believe that one member's sin can affect the congregation of any church. I believe one person's sin in the home can affect God's blessings on the home. That's why the head of the home, the father that God has given you, the head, you better make sure that there is no sin going on in the home. That's why you better make sure what's under your roof you'll give an account to God for, whatever those teenagers are doing, whatever anybody that's in your house is doing. Listen to me. God has given you the responsibility to oversee that house. If you want God's blessings, you better make sure that God can bless that home. If you've got demonic pictures up in your child's teenage room, if you've got music blaring that is not honoring to God, if you have all these things going on, do not expect God to bless that home. God cannot bless sin. One man's sin, Achan's sin, affected the whole family of God, the whole nation of Israel. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. One sinner destroyeth much good. He outlines their sin. He said, they transgressed my covenant. What does that mean? They ignored what God said. God made a covenant with them. You go in, you do what I say. If you look back to Joshua chapter 1, don't turn from the left or the right. Be of good courage. Look to God, do what God says. You got my blessings. No one can defeat you. You will be victorious. That's a covenant. He told them before they went into Jericho, don't take in the accursed thing. Listen to what I say. Don't do this. Don't do that. This is what I want you to do. They transgressed my covenant. They ignored what I told them to do. Are we committing those sins? Are we ignoring what you know God would have you to do? If that's the case, don't expect God to bless you. You cannot transgress His covenant and expect His blessings. The second thing, he says they've taken of the accursed thing. What was this accursed thing? Well, it's outlined for us in chapter 7 and verse 21. When Achan confesses what he did, he reveals what the accursed thing was. When I saw among the spoils was the accursed thing. A godly Babylonish garment. God judged him because he just took one of the garments and hid it. One of the things that God says is they were not to take of the accursed thing. They took of the accursed thing. The garment connected them to the ungodly. Their lifestyle. Accepting the ungodly lifestyle as part of our lifestyle is the accursed thing. Accepting the ungodly lifestyle of wearing whatever you want to wear. Go wherever you want to go. Do whatever you want to do. God can't bless that. If God says we ought to be aware of modest apparel and we do not have modest apparel on, don't expect God to bless that. That's the accursed thing. That is accepting the ways of the world as my ways. And God says, come out from among them. The world's ways are not my ways. Be aware of my ways and commit to doing it my way. Wow, that's the accursed thing. This goodly Babylonish garment. Who knows what it was? It was something God said was accursed because they were not to take of that which connected them to the ungodly. Then it said they stole it. For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen. Now, wait a minute. What did they steal? Chapter 6 and verse 19, what God told them. Chapter 6 and verse 19, he says, don't take of the accursed thing. But he also said, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. God said, they're mine. Bring them in, and that's what I'm going to use to strengthen, financially strengthen Israel. Achan took of the gold. That which belonged to God, kept it for himself. Silver and gold. Wow, that's sin. If God says, this is mine, and we rob from God, if we're robbing from God, can we expect God to bless us? I can tell you right now, no. How do you know? I know. The Bible. I've just not heard it. I've just not read it. I've taken what I've heard. I've taken what I've read. And I have fixed it in my heart and my mind. I know it. If you're knowingly robbing from God, you cannot expect God to bless that. This Bible. Amen. And then he said, and dissembled also. Now what is that? That word dissembled means deceit or dishonesty. He tried to hide it. Have you ever tried to hide anything from God? Now, you might get by with hiding things from a spouse. You might get by with hiding things from your parents. You might get by with deceiving this person, deceiving that person. You can't deceive God. And if you're trying to deceive God as if God does not see what you're doing or know what you're doing and expect God's blessings, I can tell you right now, He's not blessing that. Well, this is happening and this is happening and it sure looks like the blessings of God. Listen to me. I don't care what it looks like, how you feel about it. I know the Bible. Satan can appear as an angel of light. Satan can make you think it is God's blessings. But when you go against the Word of God and you go against the will of God, don't you think that God can bless that? He will not. Tried to hide it. Can I tell you, these are still sins today? I believe they're still the source of many troubles today, even the life of the believer. God addressed his confusion. God revealed the source of the trouble. Praise the Lord for that. And lastly, look there with me. God reveals the solution. What a blessing. God says, now, if you really want my help, if you truly want my blessing, then this is what you have to do. That's the same today. Verse 13. Up. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, not Joshua, but the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from before you. Sanctify yourselves and take away the accursed thing. Sanctify, to set apart for God. To set apart yourself. Can I tell you that sanctification is automatic salvation? When you get saved, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. God says, I have separated you for myself. And now I want you to glorify me with your life. That's that. When you get saved, you're not your own. When you get saved, you were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, you have been set apart to honor God, to live a Christ-like life. That's automatic. That's exactly what has taken place to everyone that's here that's got saved. God says, I've sanctified you. To sanctify yourself is an act of progressive sanctification. I am sanctified. God did that for me. What I need to do for myself is progressive sanctification. What is that, preacher? Take away the bad, add the good. I'm saved now. I've got to start realizing what God expects from me. I got to start taking away the bad and adding to it the good. Progressive. That is continuing to sin less and less and less. Continuing to do more and more and more for God. Progressive sanctification. God's revealed solution is the same. When you know that you've done all, you can find peace. When you get into that presence of God and God starts revealing to you, this is it, I want you to know. This is where it's coming from. This is what you need to do. And you're in the presence of God and you submit to God. And you say, Lord, forgive me. You're right. I've done that. And God, strengthen me because you're right. This is what I need to do. And then you get up to look to do all that you can do. When you do all that you can do to stand, the Bible says, then stand. And God will strengthen you and give you peace no matter what it is that you have to face. In closing, look what Joshua did after they defeated Ai. They went back with God's power and God's plan, and they defeated Ai. And right after they defeated Ai, look down chapter 8, verse 34 and verse 35. This is what Joshua did. And afterward, he read all the words of the law. I want you to know this. That's what he's saying. Not only, we know now, we can't just hear it. I want to read it again. I want you to know it. He says, afterward, he read all the words of God, of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Joshua learned, know what you know. Husbands know it. Wives know it. Parents know it. Children know it. Servants know it. It's knowing what God will bless and what God will not bless. God's message to Joshua. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe it's God's message to us. Same biblical principles apply. Same. Don't you be deceived by that angel of light making you think that God is blessing you when you're living, doing things that God says don't do. That's not God's blessings. No matter what it might feel like, no matter what it might seem like, God will not bless that. Satan's blessing you to keep you to stay in it. On the other hand, don't let Satan convince you that God's not blessing you when you know you're doing all that you can do. If you're doing all that you can do, God's blessing that. God's in that. God's speaking to you as he spoke to Joshua. The solution's the same. Sanctify yourselves. Take away the accursed thing. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that we might be able to receive this message. And oh God, that you would help us to make the application. You know what's taking place and what's going on in our lives. And oh God, we need you. I trust that everyone here would want to come into thy presence and to be able to have your truth revealed to them, and that you would strengthen them to follow through with whatever it is that you'd have them to do. Work in our midst this morning and bless during this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.